Thank you. Many sincere individuals read the Bible, seeking knowledge and understanding, comfort, and encouragement. We soon discover that simply reading the Bible is not enough. The Bible does not give up its secrets in this way. We read the words, but the words speak to the intellect, and the intellect is not able to perceive in an inward way. The Bible must be pondered and studied and contemplated using spiritual discernment. The inner being is the place of discernment. It is of God. To seek revelation from the heart and not from the head requires us to turn from the work of thought, releasing ourselves to the feeling nature of the inner being. We each develop our patterns of study, our own method of coming to know. Take a Bible verse. Take it into the science. What do we have here? What does this mean? It speaks to me, but I do not yet understand. And in the solitude of the moment, listen with the inner ear, the one that does not judge or make determinations. Now, I call this activity pondering. It is when we ask without any idea of what the answer might be. We admit that we of ourselves are not able to do this on our own. We rest into ourselves, alert to the divine guidance and that inspiration. And the more that we practice in this way, the more certain we are of the source of the response. We learn to distinguish between the answer given by the head and the answer given by the heart. One is acquired by thinking, and the other by listening. For instance, let us take the Bible verse. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Now we may ask ourselves why we would want to choose this particular verse to ponder. The words judge not. They suggest criticism and condemnation. And we understand that the words are directed at us. We understand that we are the ones being told not to judge. Well, even thinking about this brings a feeling of discomfort and concern. We may have a little difficulty admitting that we do, in fact, sit in judgment. We like to think of us as being kind and caring, and that any possible judgment we might make is simply an observation. And then there is that other part of the verse. The part that reminds us that we will be judged according to how it is that we judge. Now, this really gets our attention. Because, you see, there have been times when we sat in judgment and we are not proud with what we have done. We admit that we really would not like to be judged in the way we did our judging. Nor do we feel comfortable with the idea that others judge or observe us in some way. We might not like any of this, but we can't seem to let it go. We keep referring to that Bible verse because we feel there is something there for us to learn. And remember, we are studying the Bible. And these words do come from the Bible. So we take her to that place in solitude where we begin to ponder and contemplate what it might mean. We ask the question, if God is a loving God, then where does all this judgment come from? Exactly what is being judged and who is the judge? Now the words judge not are directed to the human aspect of being. The human being accomplishes by his thoughts, his motives, and his intentions. And it is always the thoughts, motives, and intentions which are manifest when we judge or condemn another. And because it is made up of our own personal view, it is in turn becomes our condemnation. Now, many times we notice that the very thing that we criticize in others is really an aspect that we see in ourselves. Actually, we see it because part of us is in agreement with it. If there was no agreement, we would not even give it any thought at all. So it would appear that it is the human being who does the judging, because it is the human thought that is capable of judgment. God knows us as his only begotten child, and what is of God is good and very good. There is no judgment or condemnation in what God has created. The Master Jesus, he reminded us that we cannot call the human being good. Why callest thou me good? God alone is good. Now, heaven is a state of consciousness that bears witness to wholeness and completion. It cannot be divided into states of duality. And you know, really, it is a sense of duality that allows us to judge and condemn by thought and intention. The human being judges the habits, the weaknesses, and the flaws of others. Jesus understood that these qualities belong to the personality side of life, and he told us to judge not according to appearance. But for eons of time, we have thought that the appearance is who we are. We sought identity in the material form, cultivating those thoughts, motives, and intentions, and then we allowed them to dictate our point of view. Robert Spurr says it in this way: for so long, our being has assumed the characteristics that properly belong to the body and the mind, local, temporal, limited, solid, subject to birth and destined to death. You see, the point is, these things belong to the world. They have a purpose and reason for being as part of the world expression. They are necessary for its understanding and its way of learning. The prodigal son, the one who wanders away from his father's house, he eats the fruit of the duality experience, learning the lessons that go with that experience. But they are not essential to the spiritual being. So it is up to us as to what our being is that we accept, because we are responsible for our sense of being, either sowing to the one of flesh or to the one of spirit. Let us assume the characteristics that properly belong to the one of spiritual being. Now, I use the word assume rather than the word attain. To me, the word assume means to claim something is naturally belongs to us. It is a part of us. It is already in place. Not something that has to be reached for or sought after. Okay, so now we have pondered the message, judge not according to appearance. And we have concluded that appearance belongs to the world, and it is okay to leave it there. Spiritual being does not even notice what belongs to the world. So we have settled this issue, and it is over. However, while we may no longer judge according to appearance, we still find us pondering the activity called judgment. Now we do this because we have heard about a particular event called Judgment Day, and it concerns us. We don't like that any better than we liked those words, judge not. For many years, priests, rabbis, and ministers, they have attempted to keep their congregations in line by threatening them with the fear of a judgment day. They were told there would be a time when they would be called upon to account for what they had done. They would be judged. And according to the conclusion, they would be admitted into heaven or not. Many people lived in fear of the alternative. But again, we ask, who does the judging and when does that day arrive? Now, the assumption might be that it would be God's judgment day. But since God is a loving God and knows us only as his beloved child, made in his image and of his likeness, then what would be his judgment? What would he be judging? Would he be judging himself? I cannot believe that this would be the case. And God has already declared that what he has made is good and very good. In studying those Bible verses, it helps to turn to the book The Revealing Word by Charles Fillmore. Now, this gives us understanding that has been given to the heart and not to the head. The act of judgment, it is a faculty of the mental mind that can be exercised in two ways. From sense perception or spiritual understanding. Now, when applied to the sense perception, judgment is a mental act, one of evaluation, through comparison or contrast. When applied to spiritual understanding, we take it to a place of solitude, where we ask our questions without personal evaluation, allowing spiritual discernment to counsel and to teach. It is through the inner voice that we come into a larger realization of ourselves. The judgment seat, it lies within man. A judging or discerning between the true and the false is going on daily as we overcome erroneous ideas and opinions. The ones that we hold about us, about life, and about our fellow man. The natural man, the one of flesh and blood, he is in a constant state of yes or no, making determinations and decisions based on what he personally judges to be best. As human beings, we daily reap the result of our thoughts, our intentions, and our deeds. And since judgment is measured unto us according to how it is that we have judged, let us be mindful of what takes place in our time of sitting on the judgment seat. Since the act of judging occurs on a daily basis, we can conclude that every day is judgment day. There is not some outside entity or deity judging us. We are the one on the judgment seat. It is our place in consciousness. Now the true man, the one of spirit, he claims dominion over the yes and no method of decision. He speaks with the words of authority, sifting and separating the true from the false, the absolute from the temporary, and he is not distracted by appearance. The one who speaks with authority is aware of the overcoming process. He knows about it. He knows it is a daily activity, and he understands that every day is Judgment Day. Remember, we are studying the Bible. The Bible speaks of the need to sift and to separate. And as a way of explanation, it speaks to us of goats and sheep. Now, it refers to goats as destructive thoughts and sheep as the constructive ones. Each day, the act of sifting and separating the good thoughts from the bad is taking place in us. Every day, we are called upon to do this. And it is through this process that we gain wisdom to determine what is real and what is unreal. So let us be the one that speaks with authority, the one of spiritual integrity. Now, to look at life from this place of understanding means that we are aware of life beyond appearance. We have reached a point in our unfoldment where the law of justice and righteousness begins to be felt in our consciousness. We no longer approach life using the method of yes or no. We are now seeking a deeper reason for our decisions. It is in individual consciousness where we ponder and listen, and we do this in ways that will never be known to the human being. Now, the human being might refer to this as knowing right from wrong. We find this in a place where we may learn what is true and absolute, discerning through what we call righteous judgment. And there is that word again, judgment. But this time I have added the word righteous to it. But what does that mean? We have heard of righteous judgment, and I guess if we had given it any thought or concentration or consideration, we might have concluded that it was referring to thought, a judgment using right thinking, positive, constructive thought. And yes, this would be true. Righteous judgment would be looking at something correctly, determining it to be accurate, according to its nature, its traits, and its characteristics. When we apply this reasoning to ourselves, it simply means that we now know us according to our spiritual nature, thinking about us according to our divine attributes and qualities. It means discerning with the spiritual ear and the eye divine. It means allowing Christ to rule in us. Each day we are called upon to separate the goats from the sheep, to release the goats, those erroneous thoughts concerning our identity, and retain the sheep, the correct idea of us. This is all done in consciousness. We have studied the Bible and determined that Judgment Day occurs on a daily basis. That means that each day is really an unfolding process. And process always demands something of us. We sit on the judgment seat, assessing our thoughts, our motives, and our intentions. And we do this day after day. We analyze us, and sometimes we like what we see, and other times we don't. Since the work is done in consciousness, it is personal. What we do with the result of our work in consciousness will go before us, reflecting our thoughts, our motives and our intentions. All of this talk about judgment could be interesting and informative, and we might even consider it food for thought. But we cannot leave it in the realm of thought. If we are called upon daily to sift and separate, then we need to know, have some idea of how to do it. Exactly what is our standard for judgment? What are the thoughts that we entertain about each other? Are they kind, generous, or are they hurtful and insensitive? And really, how did we come to those conclusions? What are our thoughts concerning our chosen occupation, or where we live, or perhaps what it is we do in our free time? What are our ideas about finances, health, and relationships? All of our thoughts are considered in consciousness. Are we entertaining goats or sheep? Let's face it. Most of us have an idea about right thinking and about wrong thinking. But frankly, we have practiced both activities for a very long time, and we feel comfortable with what we have done, finding it difficult to sift and separate. The Beatitudes of the Sermon on the Mount speak of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Since consciousness is that place of activity, then it is reasonable to conclude that persecution takes place in us. Further pondering reveals that the goats of wrong thinking, they do not go away quietly or quickly. They just want to stay right there mingling with the sheep. Could it be that our erroneous thinking is the persecutor, the one that keeps us from establishing a consciousness of correct perception? We all understand what we must do, but are we steadfast enough to do it? Do we sift and separate or not? Each decides for himself. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and give recognition to the divine presence in each one of us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the quietness of this moment, we rest in God's presence. There is a sense of peace, a feeling of serenity. There is no thought, only the stillness, open and receptive to the inner voice. It is here that the world melts away, and now we know we are not of the world. Eternal life reveals there is no beginning and no end to us. Expression is of the moment. Let us not stay too long in any experience. We are meant to unfold to greater knowledge and understanding. Let us allow wisdom to guide and direct. It is of God. It knows what to do. We were not sent into this world to fend for ourselves. Planted in the center of our being is the holy right seed. And the life in the seed is the spiritual life, the eternal being. Let us not weary ourselves with what life brings on a daily basis. We are not alone. Be still and know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him. so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.